The wilderness is a place of surprising connection, isn't it? The wilderness is a state of the wild. It's a place where the Spirit guides Jesus into fasting and temptation and struggle. But in his 40 days of fasting and resisting and wandering, he's transformed and prepared for his ministry in the future. Throughout Lent, we too have been invited to surrender to the wild leadings of the Spirit. And hopefully through our wandering in the wilderness, we remember whose we are and who we are when it comes down to it. Church, as I have said, kind of from the beginning of our service today, we find ourselves knee-deep in some strange wilderness this week, along with the rest of the world, this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic. And this is not how I imagined this week would shake out, and I don't think any pastor or educator or anybody that does something in public probably assumed this is how the world was going to be this week. But here we are, low on hand sanitizer and running out of TP, apparently. When I read our lesson from the book of Exodus about the Israelites wandering in the wilderness earlier this week, I thought, oh man, this is like the perfect reading for this week. Because I was struck at how remarkably similar our experience today might compared to those grumbling Hebrews that wanted water and food and provision in the wilderness. You see, people were upset in that scripture. They were wandering the wilderness with Moses. They had just left Egypt, and they were hungry and thirsty. They were under the oppression of slavery by Pharaoh in Egypt, but at least then, the people said, they had three hot meals and a cot. They knew where their food was coming from. They knew where their water was coming from. You know, and as long as they followed the rules to some degree, they were safe. They played by the rules of the oppressor. Now, however, in our story today from Exodus, they are free. They're in the wilderness. They're facing the unknown. They are in uncharted territory. And I want to share with you a modern translation of this scripture from Exodus. This is by a colleague at Ripon UCC. His name is Reverend Jeff Dodson. He writes, instead of water from the rock, Moses striking water from the rock, he writes, hand sanitizer from the toilet paper. So listen to this modern day translation of the scripture from Exodus. Exodus 17, 1 through 7, Reverend Dodson's translation. From the wilderness of suburbia, the whole congregation of the USA journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped at Costco, but there was no hand sanitizer for the people to slather. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us hand sanitizer to use." But Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people worried there for hand sanitizer, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why do you bring us out of the comfortable suburbs to panic us and our children and livestock with corona, COVID-19? So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people. Take some elders of the CDC with you. Take in your hand the staff which you struck the Nile with and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the pallet of toilet paper. Strike the toilet paper and hand sanitizer will come out of it so the people may be clean." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of the CDC. He called the place Purell and Charmin, because the people quarreled there and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord not among us, or is he?" The end. You know, this week, I think we've seen some of the worst in people come out when it comes to, like, hoarding stuff, hand sanitizer and toilet paper. We were trying to scrape together hand sanitizer for here. It was really tough, really tough. But this is because scarcity mindsets and hoarding has taken over when people feel threatened, right? Or sometimes even worse than that, people take advantage of systems and others to exploit others during times of chaos. for personal gain. It's easy to think of this as the wilderness, a dog-eat-dog world where it is survival of the fittest and me before thee reigns supreme. It's easy to think of the wilderness as a place of loneliness. In the hardest parts of our lives, we often feel like we're going it alone. And it's easy, perhaps too easy, too often, for us to isolate ourselves, assuming that other people around us are the enemies, or at least they would never be our friends. Sometimes it takes a wilderness encounter outside of our typical lives to break us out of patterns. And this week, despite the darkness and the hoarding and the grumbling in the wilderness, we have also seen, I believe, surprising and unexpected connections. You know, I saw a story on the news about groups of people in Italy, this country that's been hit really hard by this virus and literally has been shut down, singing to each other. One building on one side of the street, building on the other side of the street, singing like they're doing Christmas carols, you know, because they're in isolation. They cannot leave. I have experienced personally groups of pastors online and calling each other up through text messages and small groups. We've been reaching out to each other and talking about what are we going to do with worship? What do we do? We oftentimes have groups of compromised older adults and people with immune system issues, you know, small children and whatever. What are we going to do? We don't want to clump a bunch of people together. How can we do worship online? What resources do we have? Help, you know, what do we do? I've heard of people buying gift cards from small businesses and restaurants to help keep them afloat during this time when the economy is kind of taking a bad turn. I've heard of politicians and leaders trying to assuage the debts of student loans, the financial burden of people who won't be able to work at this time because of the virus. I've heard of teachers offering virtual classes, museums opening up so people could do tours online while they're quarantined at home. You know, I've heard of professional athletes that have donated hundreds of thousands of dollars toward paying the arena staff. You know, I think Giannis did that at the Pfizer Forum, which is really cool. It's a young guy doing that. So we've heard stories of people that are doing things that they might not otherwise do in the middle of this wilderness. Which brings me to our gospel. It's the story of one of the first evangelists, the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman, as Diane shared, you know, we heard the story of her. She and Jesus were not just from different cultures. They were from opposing cultures. Think like Vikings, Packers, different, you know. More divided than that, however. They were from cultures that hated each other. Jews looked down on Samaritans and thought of them as less than human. They were seen as less than, as religiously impure, kind of as mutts. Because they had, at one point in their history, Samaritans had intermarried outside of their ethnic group and religious group. So they were thought of as less than. Okay? And this went back centuries, this rivalry between Jews and Samaritans and how they treated each other very poorly. In our story, we have Jesus, to add insult to injury, a Jewish rabbi interacting with this Samaritan single woman in a public sphere. That would never happen back in his day. Add to this, we hear that this woman was married 5 times. This was the reason she was getting water from the well in the middle of the day, most likely, in the middle of the day, because other people wouldn't have been around to see her. It probably was something that brought her shame. Shame in that culture. All of this is shocking that Jesus is approaching her and talking to her. As Diane shared, the text notes how the disciples were shocked. They were floored by how Jesus was interacting with her. But nobody asks why he was talking to her. There's a person named Slats Toole who writes, Jesus points out how much they have been missing by ignoring those around them that did not fit into their own cultural or religious norms. And Barbara Brown Taylor writes this about our story. She says, when she steps back, the woman, he steps towards her. When she steps out of the light, he steps into the light. He will not let her retreat. If she is determined to show him less of herself, then he will show her more of himself. I know that the Messiah is coming, she says. And he says, I am he. It is the first time he has said that to any other living soul in the gospel. And he says it to this person in isolation. It is a moment of full disclosure in which the triple outsider and the Messiah of God stand face to face with no pretense about who they are. Both stand fully lit at high noon for one bright moment in time, while all the rules, the taboo, and history that separate them fall forgotten on the ground. It's powerful. Jesus approaching this woman in a time, in a space, in a sphere of isolation, moving towards her with connection. I think for us today, in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic, this is a powerful story about isolation in connection. The woman was isolated by her situation, by who she was, by her history, by all the baggage that comes with being a Samaritan, but all the baggage that also comes with being a woman at this period of time and being a woman that was married 5 times at this period of time. But Jesus moves towards her, standing face to face with her, offering himself in the way he calls to live as the true water that will sate her thirst for the rest of her life. Water that will bring fulfillment that nothing else can. In the midst of her isolation and in the wilderness, Jesus and her have a surprising connection, a meaningful one, and one that impels her, sends her out to become one of the first evangelists and the first in this gospel, bearing witness to Jesus and who Jesus was to her people, to her people. In closing, as Slats Toole writes, maybe the wilderness is not a place of loneliness, but a place of unexpected connection. Maybe this time in our world history can be a place of connection. Even though we are experiencing isolation and self-quarantine and social distancing and hand sanitizing all the time, I would challenge you this week as we determine what we're going to do as a church moving forward for the next few weeks surrounding worship. Don't worry, we'll be here at some point. I would encourage you to get connected to somebody, just as I shared when I was talking with the kids and all of you earlier. I would encourage you to interrupt the isolation of the wilderness, to call somebody up, to write a letter, a card, send flowers, send an email to somebody, send a text message, because the wilderness may be a place of anger. It may be a place of anger and grumbling and a lack of TP and hand sanitizer, and everybody's mad, okay? And everybody's wounded, and everybody's upset, and nobody wants to be stuck at home with their kids for 3 weeks. I know that my wife is probably feeling like that a little bit as a teacher. But the wilderness can also be a place of meaningful connection, and you never know how that meaningful connection can transform the world. So let it be so. Amen? All right.